13th of January in Bangkok on Ajahn Suchin's 80th birthday with Sarah, Jonathan, Nina, Han, Betty, Shakin, Michael J, Susie, Tom W, Ludovic, Anne, Ivan, Tom C, Vince, Shakti and Azita.
Several questions that a friend has asked me to help raise. The first one is, when reading suttas, some people find they cannot reconcile the reading of different suttas. So my friend prefers to just read each sutta one by one without attempting to reconcile them. And as an example, he gave first of all the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, where it's clear there is no self, there's nothing to be done, nothing can be directed. So when he reads this, he reads it in this way. But when he reads another sutta, such as the Anapanasati Sutta, it suggests to bring in sati at will, to direct the breath in a certain way. So when he reads the sutta in this way, then he reads it in the sense of directing particular dharmas without attempting to reconcile the suttas.
Do you think that Buddha can direct anyone's understanding or behavior, or just show what conditions can condition such and such? For example, now there is breath, no one can do anything because breath has arisen already, right? So it depends on whether you'd like to be calm by just knowing or understanding breath, so that panya then can develop to the degree that is calm. Or would you like to understand the nature of breath as not self? Because actually what Buddha taught was about realities which are not self. So it depends on at level you'd like to have at such moment, to just be calm or to just develop the understanding of the true nature of realities, which all realities are conditioned by proper conditions to arise just then, right now, to understand or not to understand realities. Because when one is calm, there's no understanding of reality as just a reality. Breath is what? In its nature. If there is no understanding of breath, one clings to it. One wants to concentrate or to be calm by having concentration, but actually at that moment it might not be kusala, wholesome moment at all, because lack of panya. So what is panya at that moment of having breath as object with attachment? Very simple. Any moment there is tangible object appearing without understanding, there is always attachment. So it's exactly the same, no matter if we name it breath or not breath, it's only tangible object. What's the difference between breath and any other tangible object which appears other places, other moment? So I think that the best thing is to understand reality as not self, because the whole Tripitaka and commentaries talk about not self. The more one listen, the more one consider which one is self. Visible object? No. Sound, seeing, hearing, thinking, all are not self. But just repeating that it's not self is not enough, because it's only one's own idea about it, not the moment of direct experience, the anatta-ness of that reality when it appears. That's why Buddha didn't teach just about theoretical knowledge. He also showed the way to develop higher understanding, the direct experiencing of realities right now. It has to be right now. Panya grows from this moment. If there is no understanding at this very moment, how can panya grow? No expectation from other moment, which is this moment. One might not like attachment, one might not like aversion, but if one doesn't want it to arise, try so hard not having it arise, so how can there be the understanding of it when it does not show up as just a conditioned reality? That's why in a day, without Panya, no one can understand reality as it is, as not self. It has its own characteristic, each doorway. For example, visible object right now. We used to take visible object for someone or something, and it brings about the idea of atta, because atta is opposite of anatta. Atta is something there. It can be things, it can be people, it can be anything. Like sound is something because it's sound, it's a sound. So it's something as sound, and something as smell, and something as tangible object. It is always something, but because there is no understanding of its arising by conditions and following instantly, so rapidly. So without the development of understanding the reality as it is little by little, it's impossible for Panya to see it clearly. Because even now it arises and falls away, but so fast. If Panya is not developed, how can it recognize or understand each reality as just a reality only, one at a time? So what really is seen? Even this, we have right or wrong understanding about visible object, what is seen right now. If it's still thinking about someone which is seen or something which is seen, it's not the direct understanding of visible object as just a reality, which can impinge on the eye base. And if Chakku Vijnana, the seeing consciousness, does not arise, even this appearance of visible object cannot appear at all. Impossible. The same to other doorway, like sound. It seems anyone can hear sound, but without the ear base and without the hearing consciousness, even sound itself cannot appear. It can appear just to hearing for a moment and then completely gone, never come back. And life is like this. Nothing, and then something, and then nothing, and then something all the time. I appreciate that very much.
Another text that could be mentioned in the same regard is the one about the four right efforts. People have difficulty reconciling that too, because it says there is the case where a monk puts forth effort, exerts himself, arouses himself for the sake of getting rid of the avasana that is there and so forth. Can you say a few words about how these texts are to be read in also?
Who is that effort?
It says a monk.
Effort is effort, no matter. Whenever it arises, it performs its function. So while one is reading Tipitaka, it depends on one reads with one's own understanding, one's own idea, one's own inclination, or just the understanding of reality, which is taught by the one who knows it very clearly, completely. For example, if we are reading about effort, we forget about effort as effort. We think that someone there tries so hard, all four, see? But even effort right now is not known yet. So how can we know other function, the four function of effort, without knowing effort?
But to start with, do we know there is effort right now? Do the suttas tell us there is effort right now?
Even we don't name it or call it effort. Do you ever try?
Yes.
And would you like to call that thing something which tries? Depending.
Well, you can call it effort if there's trying, but often there's not
so
trying.
That so is it.
Right now, is there trying?
If we don't study, we cannot know at all that Buddha just explained each citta as it is, how many cetasikas arising with each particular one. We cannot just know by oneself that only seven cetasikas arise with seeing and hearing only, but after that, more cetasikas by different function. Because now it seems like only seeing keeps on staying, no arising and falling at all, while there are so many cittas in between, unknown all the time. So without understanding citta yet, what about the understanding of effort? As just effort.
I have a problem because I catch myself having intention to be aware, and I heard you say It shows there is not yet enough understanding. So please, would you say more about this?
What is not self now?
What is not self now?
Mm-hmm.
All realities are not self, but I know only in theory.
Yes, but if you know one, that is not enough. Panya has to know better and better until the whole life, the whole day, mm-hmm. are only different realities.
Yes.
So we don't pinpoint. We'd like to know effort and not this yet and not that. How can I know this, not the other? So it's only ignorance about that mm-hmm. which is not known yet.
Yes.
Yeah. Our friend has a second question, which is about the conflict between the world in conventional sense and the world of Paramatta Dharmas. Mm-hmm. For example, for a worldling like us, we know that we can't take our house with us when we die, and we know that there are only Paramatta Dharmas, and yet it's still our house that we won't let someone else move into. So it seems that in daily life there is some conflict.
Conflict or not knowing, not understanding?
For example, I own a house from Paramatta. Since there is
Excuse me, even while you are fast asleep?
I don't understand what you say.
You own a house,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Even when you are fast asleep?
I'm coming to that. From Paramatta aspect, I cannot own anything because there is no I. But still, from conventional sense, the house is still my house.
When you wake up?
Yes, when I wake up. When I'm asleep, I won't know anything.
Yeah.
So, in conventional sense, my house is my house. So it is difficult for me to bring together the conventional sense and the Paramatta Dhamma together. That's the difficulty.
Yeah. May I ask, where is your house now?
My house is where it is.
Only when there is thinking about house.
Yes.
Only that moment.
Yes, that's right. From Paramatta aspect, that is correct. I have no argument against that.
Mm-hmm.
Like one author has written that if you have a bank account, when you think of the bank account, you own that. But the moment you think of something else, that money is gone.
It shows that even you have incited all realities as not self, it doesn't mean that you don't have any idea about your house anymore. Because it's only a moment of thinking.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But in the conventional sense, it's difficult. From Dhamma point of view, you are 100% correct. I have nothing against that from the Paramatta point of view.
So just understand that correctly, that's all. You can think about your house, about everything, but there is understanding that it's only thinking. No permanent I who's still there, but it's only a moment of conditioned thought or idea or thinking, arising and falling away.
Yes, but when I am not thinking, the period when I am not thinking, mm-hmm. my house is still my house.
Only when you are thinking.
Is your house real?
Yes, it's real.
Are you sure?
Sure, my house is there. It's real.
No, I understand.
Are you sure?
Yes, sure.
If you believe in Paramatta Dhammas and you understand them, then how can you say your house is real?
That's what I'm saying. It's difficult to come together. The Dhamma point of view and the conventional aspect, difficult to. For a person like me, a Purusana, if you're a Riya, I do not know.
No, Nina, no, Lone, the same problem,
We all
to
have to live.
Apply it, it's difficult.
Yeah. We all have to live in the conventional world.
Yeah.
So I say, I'm going back to my house, this is my car, this is the daughter, all these things. But if we understand a little bit, even a teeny fraction of Paramatta Dhammas, then we know that these things that are our house, the table, the chair, the da-da-da-da-da, and even people, are not real.
When you say it's a problem, is it a problem when you don't think of it?
Well, when I say a conflict
right.
between the conventional sense and the Paramatta sense.
But the conflict arises when you think of it.
Yes.
Not otherwise.
Right.
Yes. But you are thinking all the time, or almost all the time.
It doesn't matter because thinking is conditioned. We think differently, by conditions, different conditions. But thinking cannot stay, it cannot last. It falls away.
I'm not saying that thinking is good. It is wholesome, I'm not saying that. I'm only saying from the point of ordinary person, Apurujana, it is difficult to appreciate.
How can a Putushana become an Aryan?
I'm still a Putushana. I'm not an Arya.
If there is more and more and better understanding, then reality can appear to the developed understanding as it is.
That I accept.
Yes.
At so that stage.
Just develop.
Yes, at that stage. Yeah. But what I'm saying is at the initial level, initial
which,
stage.
Which can grow little difficult. By little. It can grow.
Yeah, it can grow.
Yeah.
I have no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But at this point, the starting point, there is a conflict. Later on, maybe, no difficulty.
Starting point is the clearer understanding about reality right now. For example, visible object. Does it seem like a reality which has no body in it at all? No one invisible object. This is the truth. So one can see that ignorance cannot understand this, cannot see it as it is. But Panya begins to consider whether is there someone in the visible object right now, or is pure an element which can be seen only and falls away instantly.
No, I'm nothing against the advanced level. For example, have you not locked your car?
I do not lock my car.
Because you think it's your car.
And I think the point is to acknowledge thinking as thinking, concept as concept. But you are saying that, almost like saying that we can't think like that until we reach Aryan level.
Advanced level, maybe not Aryan,
yes,
advanced level.
But our level of understanding is just to understand it intellectually, through thinking.
I'd like to raise another conflict that I was discussing at lunchtime with regard to mindfulness and quiet and special environments, conflict between desire to be pure and impure, and many people feel in a quiet environment there can be more mindfulness and samadhi, and when they talk or study there is a decline. And as beginners, we tend to lose concentration easily.
The question is whether we have understanding or not. Quiet bliss, no understanding. Even right now, with understanding. So quiet when there is understanding, no matter where. Because at that moment, there is the understanding of a reality at a time. No other reality.
May I ask a question, going slightly back to the earlier topic? Talk about the simile of the raft and relating that to stages of insight. I just want to ask a question about using concepts at the earlier stage of development, and then as going through the stages of insight, the use of concepts is not necessary, and being able to see Paramattadhamma, it becomes clearer, and the three characteristics of Paramattadhamma, it becomes clearer and clearer as the insight progresses and Panya grows stronger. So in the early stage of development of insight, there would be use of concepts. Nama and Rupa are at the gross level or not at the level of Paramatta, and then noticing the three characteristics even at that conceptual level. Then gradually, as Panya grows and the Vipassana Jnana progression, you can see the Paramattadhamma directly. Here's the simile of the raft, is to use concepts on the side of the unenlightened side, and then abandon the concepts as you cross to the other shore.
So you're saying in brief that in the beginning one needs to use concepts.
It can be helped.
And then at a more advanced stage you don't need concepts? Did the Buddha use concepts?
Yeah.
Did the Buddha use concepts?
When he explained Dharma?
Yes.
When he went about his daily life, when he ate, when he slept?
Yes, he did.
So it's not that concepts are ever...
They're not a problem.
They're not a problem, no.
And coming back to the conflict issue, I think conflict is about the expectations. Maybe expectation, wanting to be able to see Paramattadhamma directly, desire for advancement in the Dhamma, versus seeing a reality of, okay, we've got a lot of tanha here, not happy. That's creating a conflict between expectation and the reality, seeing a reality of not being there yet.